Matthew chapter 23, I'm going to talk to you about sins tonight because of a third point that I heard a brother mention offhandedly, and I was able to put three things together. I jotted some scriptures down. I may have to look at them, may not, but we'll see. In Matthew chapter 23, we're talking about sins. You say, why not sin? We'll see in a moment. Matthew chapter 23, and look at verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe, that is, you give 10% of all the mint that grows in your garden, and anise, and cumin, and have left undone the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. But these ye ought to have done, and not to have left the others undone. Notice, here is something to be done, here is something that is undone. But what is so remarkable about this passage, I thought that it would cover them both, but they're both the same thing. If I tell you, do your homework, and you do not do it, or you left undone your homework, then it amounts to the same thing. But please notice at least, things done and things undone. Now, one more. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, and I was also looking for these sins as found in the book of James, and I found one there. I was going to bring the message from Matthew 5, because we may have been considering this chapter, and one of the points is this. Look at verse 27. You have heard that it was said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that everyone that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So we have three kinds of sins that I've read to you about. You have sins of commission, you have sins of omission, and you have sins of disposition. Now, that is what enabled me to give you this message, because I always heard of sins of omission and sins of commission, but when a brother said, but there are also sins of disposition, I said, of course, because there are some things, and they're all outward things that we do that we should not do. And there are some outward things that we should do, but we do not do. But then there is the disposition of the heart, the secret inner things, and that is the disposition, the tendency toward things. And I said, that's the third part. So there are three sins and kinds of sins I want us to consider a little bit. Sins of commission, that is, when God has plainly told us what we should not do, and we do those things, that is a sin of commission. And when God tells us to do a certain thing, and we fail to do it, that is a sin of omission. And then, when there is the law of God, and we know what is right and wrong, and we do not outwardly commit any sin, but we think of those things that God has told us that are right and wrong, and we lust after those things in our heart, then that is a sin of disposition. And a sin of disposition may never materialize into anything outwardly that can be laid hold on. But in James, we read what can happen if these sins of disposition are tendencies that are within, if they are not dealt with. We'll read that now. Turn to James. Turn to James, because I want to give you some scriptures illustrating these kinds of sins. And in James, I'll show you two of them. First of all, one in chapter 1. Now, this is the sin of disposition. What is a man's disposition? It's just his tendency. It's what he is inwardly. And quite often it manifests itself outwardly. Look at verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. And he himself tempteth no man, but each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust. Now that lust is in the heart. That's the inward sin. When he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed, that's one thing. But I told you that if these inward sins are not dealt with, what happens? The disposition toward sin, verse 15. Then lust, when it hath conceived, beareth sin. And so that which was inward and was a disposition toward sin now has become outward, and an actual sin has been committed. And after that, and sin, when it is full grown, bringeth forth death. So that's what we want to do tonight. We want to consider the disposition, the tendency towards sin that is inward, and what we have to do before it develops and turns into an outward sin and brings forth death. We want to see about that. But also turn to chapter 4, because here in James is another beautiful example, and I will just read you this one from James. James chapter 4, verse 16. But now, you glory in your vauntings, all such glorying is evil. To him therefore that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so it's not only what you do that's wrong, but it's something that you know that you should do, that you fail to do. And listen again, to him therefore that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Here is a sin of omission. And God has told us that not doing what we should is as much a sin as doing what he tells us not to do. All right, let's look at another. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I'll make it 14. Romans 14. Because here is another variation of one of these sins. Verse 23. It's talking, and you'll see it in verse 14. Notice how Paul looks upon right and wrong, clean and unclean, good and evil. Verse 14, I know, and I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean of itself, save to him who accounted anything to be unclean. To him it is unclean. So there's no doubt in Paul's mind. He knows, and he's persuaded in the Lord Jesus. But look down now at verse 23. It says, he that doubteth is condemned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So here is something, and let me show you, it speaks about the deceitfulness of sin. And so some philosophy that Christians have is this. There's some things that I can't do, but inasmuch as I do not know for sure that this thing is sin, then I will go ahead and do it, because since I do not know that it is sin, then no one can say that I have sinned. But God has already anticipated such thinking. And he says, if it's not of faith, if you do not know that you're permitted to do it, then it is sin. Let me give you the example from this portion. if we were Jews that had been converted from the law, and the law had spoken about certain meats that we were permitted to eat, you could eat beef, and you could eat lamb and goat, but you could not eat pork. And we knew that from the Old Testament, but then God had told us in the New Testament that every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused. If we know that, then we can eat any creature of God, because God has cleansed it. Every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be reduced. But if we did not know that, if we ate pork as a Jew, it would be sin. It would not be sin in itself, but it would be sin because we thought it was wrong, but we did it anyway. Do you see how subtle sin is? And so what we have to do is this. If we look upon something that is questionable, and we say, well, I do not know for sure that it's sin, and so I will allow myself to do it, that makes it sin. The moment you say it is questionable, then it's not a faith. And you can ascertain from God's word whether it's right or wrong, and then if you learn, as in 1 Timothy chapter 4, that eating pork is acceptable because every creature of God is good and nothing is to be refused, then you have faith, confidence in the word of God, and you're permitted to eat it. So some of the things that we do are sin because even though we may be permitted to do them, we are not sure, and we're going to do them anyway, whether we are sure or not. So think of these things. There are sins that are outward, and the sins that are outward are these. If the priests had certain responsibilities in the temple, and they were told to light the lamps in the evening and take care of them in the morning, and they did not trim the wicks in the morning and did not light the lamps in the evening, they would be sinning because they knew to do something and they failed to do it. But what happened to Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons? They were told not to offer strange fire upon the altar. They knew they were not to offer strange fire upon the altar, but they offered that strange fire upon the altar, and the judgment of God fell upon them. Why? Because here was something they knew they should not do, and they did it. So there are sins of commission, when you do something that God says, do not do it, and there are sins of omission, when God says, you should do it, and you fail to do it. Now, let me give you an example. There are half sins that turn out to be whole sins. There are certain things that God commands in His law for us to do. And if we were a Jew, God said you're to give 10% of all your possessions. And some of them were so particular about it that if there were 10 sprigs of spearmint growing in the garden, they would go out and pluck one of those sprigs of spearmint and give it to God. Why? Because it was 10%. And if they received $1, they would take 10 cents and give it to God. They were meticulous about these things. But the Lord Jesus said, there is also in the Word of God something that is weightier than giving 10% of all that you possess. And He said, it is faith and justice and mercy, you see. And the Lord Jesus said, these ought you to have done, that is, the weightier things of the law, and not to have left the other undone. You didn't. So what the Savior is saying is this, yes, it's right. You should give 10% of all that you give. This is under the law. You should give 10% of all that you give. You should not leave that undone. But having done part, you can't neglect justice and faith and love and mercy. They are the weightier things of the law. So the Jews did the lesser things of the law, and then they thought that they were exempt from doing the weightier matters of the law. But that's not true. And there are some who sin in just the opposite way. There are some who would say, well, I understand the big things of the law, and I carry them out. And God would say, well, what about the 10% of all that you own, that you grow, your possession of cattle? What about those things? Do you give that to me? And so you can't do the weightier matters of the law and leave the lesser things undone and think you're safe. And you can't do the lesser things of the law and think you can get by without doing the weightier things of the law. What does it mean? It means that you have to do the whole law. Because whosoever shall keep the whole commandment, the whole law, and yet offend in one point. You see, what God wants is complete obedience. And if we go to God and say to him, I've done 9 out of the 10 things that you told me, the Lord is delighted with the 9 things that you've done, but he'll deal with us about that 10th thing. What if sinners stand before God and say, I kept all of your commandments, but I did kill? Or I kept all of your commandments, but I did commit adultery. And I kept all of your commandments, but I did steal. Do you think that God will accept you into heaven? What you have to do is to have a righteousness that is from the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the free gift of God. But after that, the life that is pleasing to God is one of complete obedience and carrying out all the things that he teaches. Now, there are many sins that were not committed in my life, not because I did not want to keep them, commit them, but because God kept me from committing them. At times, it might be an attack on a person. At times, it might be stealing something. At times, it may be sin of any nature that comes up. Think in your life something that you were going to do, but let's turn to Genesis 20. I'm going to show you now how sins of commission, sins that you were going to do, you did not do, but they were in your heart to do them. And let us see why some of those sins have never been committed. Genesis chapter 20. And Abraham goes down to Abimelech, and he takes Sarah, and he says to Sarah, tell them that you're my sister. And this is what Abimelech thinks. And so Abimelech wanted Sarah himself. But he had been told that she was Abraham's sister. He did not know that anything was wrong. Look at verse 4. Now Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will you slay even a righteous nation? Said he not himself unto me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hand have I done this. And God said unto him in the dream, yea, I know that in the integrity of thy heart thou hast done this. And I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not permit thee to touch her. Notice carefully that God said, I withheld thee from sinning against her. So here is the lust of the flesh, and here is a man that was withheld by God from doing something that was wrong, and he did not know that it was wrong, but it would have been wrong, because he was lied to about Sarah. He heard a misrepresentation from Abraham. So please notice this, and I've turned to it many times, I withheld him from sinning against me. You have some course of action, but God prevents it. Turn to 1 Samuel 25. And look at verse 13. David has sent and requested from Nabal something to eat for his army.
He's protected Nabal, sheep, and his shepherds, and his possessions. And he said, if you would be so kind, give us something to eat. And Nabal refused. Now this is what comes into David's heart. Look at verse 13. David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And they went up after David about 400 men and 200 abode by the baggage. He's going to slay the household of Nabal. But look down at verse 32. Abigail comes and she intercedes. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed be thy discretion, and blessed be thou that hast kept me this day from blood guiltiness, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For, in very deed, as the Lord, the God of Israel, liveth, who hath withholden me from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted to come and meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by morning light so much as one man child. Now, David says that this vengeance and this murder that was in his heart, it was not of David that it did not get committed, but God withheld by sending Abigail, and God himself made it so that David did not commit this sin. So think, in the case of Ahimelech, he was withheld by God from committing adultery, and David is withheld by God from committing murder. Now, I want us to see this. Turn to Psalm 19. In some instances, God withholds, but many times, God lets us have our own way. Beware of having your own way, because God does not always withhold us from sinning against him. Now, this is what we do to make sure that we do not sin against God. Psalm 19. Look at verse 12. Who can discern his errors? Clear thou me from hidden faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be clear from great transgression. You ever pray that? You understand? That even David, the man after God's own heart, said, Lord, I am tempted at times to commit presumptuous sins. Now, God, I read to you in 1 Samuel 25, kept him from committing that presumptuous sin. But what David does is this. He knows that it will not always be that way, and therefore he prays to God that it shall always be that way. He says, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. So what does it mean? It means that there are things that go on in our heart, these sins of disposition. And the disposition of Ahimelech was to get Sarah. And the disposition of David was to murder the household of Nabal. But God in his graciousness withheld Ahimelech from his besetting sin and withheld David from his besetting sin. And what we do is to pray to God and say, what you did for Ahimelech and what you did for David, do for me. Because our Savior told us to pray that. He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's a good prayer to pray every day. Why? Because the disposition, the intentions of the heart, they can easily, if they are dwelt upon, and in this case, the disposition in James chapter 1 is lust. It says, lust putteth it to seed. But if the lust comes and immediately you deal with it, it will never conceive. But if the lust comes, and as David in the case of Bathsheba, the lust is there, and he lets that lust remain in his heart, and it becomes full grown, it conceives, then sin is committed. And then sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. It brought forth the death of the child, and it brought forth the death of his son, Absalom, and God said, the sword will never depart from thy house. And so that is why, if there are sins of disposition in our heart, we have to pray to God, withhold me from sinning against thee. Lord, work it out that someone like Abigail will come and tell me and will thwart the intentions of my heart. So here are sins, sins of commission, things I was going to do that were wrong, and I did not do them, and I'm not to be congratulated, because God withheld. But it makes no difference, except for this. We learned in the men's Bible study that even though the sins are not committed outwardly, and there is a difference, thank God, here is a man that is short on money, and he wants money badly, and he's thinking about this bank, and he knows all the habits of the tellers in that bank, and he's thinking about how he can go and rob that bank. But suddenly he comes to his senses and he says, no, that is insanity. I would get caught and they would put me in jail. But look, all along, he was thinking of stealing the money that was in that bank. Now, that is why I read to you, and remember, I'll just quote it to you. It says in Matthew chapter 5, you have heard that it was said, thou shalt not commit adultery. That is a sin of commission. Here is a woman, and if a man goes to that woman that's not his wife, then the sin that is committed is adultery. That is outward. That is a commission of sin outwardly. But the Lord Jesus said more than that. If you look on that woman to lust after her in your heart, he said you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. Now that's a sad thing. But thank God, somebody has ever been put in jail for wanting money in the bank. If they go and rob the bank, yes. And how many have lusted for something that they should not have, but even though in their heart this thing has been done, still the outward physical commission of the sin has not been done. And that is a difference. But let me show you again, turn to First Epistle of John, because this is most important. I told you, our Savior spoke in Matthew 5 about the lust after a woman. But let's look in the First Epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 13. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So here is someone who hates his brother, but he does not kill his brother. But the Bible says you are murdered. And the Bible says, here is the man that's looking on a woman to lust after her, and he does not commit the act. But the Lord Jesus says that adultery has been committed in the heart. And so what does it mean? It means that my life must be controlled not only outwardly in what I prevent myself from doing. I do not want to commit certain sins. And I must control my life inwardly. Yes, if something of temptation comes before your eyes, yes, but you can turn your eyes. I brought this to the attention of the men in the Bible study. The fact that even the best individuals of the Old Testament are tempted, this is what Job said, that man of God. He said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why should I look upon a maid? He knew the temptation of his eyes, and for that reason, he said, I'm making a covenant that I shall not look and lust after that woman. And he said, how then can I sin? So that's a wonderful thing. David knew his tendency towards sin, and he said, take me from presumptuous sins. And Job knew his tendency, and he said, I made a covenant with my eyes. And if it's stealing, perhaps you'd better make a covenant with your hands. And if there is hatred, perhaps you'd better make a covenant with your heart. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. And this is what the Savior does. What God did when he gave us the law, it was a literal commandment forbidding us to commit a literal act. Thou shalt not kill. But the Lord Jesus tells us that that also involves the heart of the matter, and that if you lusted after something, it was sin. And if you desire to do something that was evil, that was sin as well. Now listen, and I will show you from the Ten Commandments which are sins of commission and which are sins of omission. Listen, it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. If you commit adultery, that is a sin of commission. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. If you do not honor your father and your mother, that is a sin of commission. You see? Now, we have the sins of commission and sins of omission, but also we have the sin of disposition. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet. Covet what? Your neighbor's house? All right. His wife? Yes. His manservant? Yes. His maidservant? His ox? His donkey? Anything that is your neighbor's. And so what does it mean? The Bible is telling us that my heart may not want the man's wife, but I may want his servant. I may not want his wife and his servant, but I may want his donkey. Do you understand? So the Bible has already taught us that we can sin by committing sins, doing what God said not to do. You are not to commit adultery. If you commit adultery, that is a sin of commission. It says, honor your father and mother. If you do not honor your father and mother, that is a sin of omission. Now, thou shalt not covet. And if you look upon your neighbor's goods and covet, then that is a sin of disposition. And because of that, I must pray to God continually. And I must thank God when he delivers from the sins being actually committed. But I must go to God. And I must confess that these things, though they were not done outwardly, they were done inwardly. O God, forgive me for lusting after this woman. O God, forgive me for hating my brother in my heart. Forgive me, O God, for wanting to steal that which was not mine. Why? Because this is what the Bible says. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But if you sin, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, he tells us not to, and at times he withholds us from sinning against him. But if we do not pray as David did, and as the Lord Jesus told us to pray, and we do sin, then, thank God, 1 John 1:9 is there. If we confess our sin. So, there's so many things that we can do that are wrong, and there is every conceivable way in which we can do them that is wrong, and yet nobody can put a finger on us. And this is what Paul said. He said, I looked at the Ten Commandments, and he said, I kept them all. I was blameless until I came to that commandment that said, thou shalt not covet. And perhaps the Apostle Paul saw the man that had the highest position in the seat of learning in Israel, one that was chief among the Sanhedrin, and Paul wanted that man's position. And it smote him in his heart. And he said, I was blameless. Outwardly, I've never done anything wrong outwardly according to the law. He said, but the law said, I had to control myself inwardly. Thou shalt not covet. You shall not lust. You shall not desire things that cannot rightly be yours. And he said, I failed in that respect. So all of us sin in thought, in word, or in deed. But because what we learn in Psalm 19 and Matthew 6, let us pray to God, keep thy servant from presumptuous sins, and lead me not to temptation, but deliver me from evil. And if we do sin, let us confess our sins, because he's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse from all unrighteousness. Sins of every description. Time is gone. Let us pray. Father, let us tell us that we can deceive our own hearts. Lord, let us know that we as your children, so often instead of thinking how we can serve thee better, we're trying to figure out ways that we can do things that are sin, and yet we may be able to get by them saying they are not sin. But help us to be those that say to your spirit, you know my down sitting and my uprising, thou knowest my thoughts afar off. Help us, Father, to be those that do not commit sin, that we do not omit to do things you should tell us to do. Let our disposition be not my will, but thine be done. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.